the table. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you'd toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables card off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. I tried to kick the ball, but my tenny flew right.
You're listening to KDRT 95.7 right here in Davis, California. I'm going to be your host, Peter Pastor, for the next half hour with a show called Imagining Yolo Davis. We're here every Friday at 5:30, where we interview different charities in and around Davis, in and around Yolo County. And we like to talk about the importance of volunteers to make all of this happen. In the background, you're hearing the Beach Boys from their Smiley Smile album, Vegetables. And that is linked to why I'm playing that, because today we're going to talk about the Community Harvest of Davis. And with us, we have John Aubert, and a board member, and also a board member, Greg Gibson. But Greg is also the founder of the organization. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's a delight you're here. And what a wonderful organization. I would imagine as I walk around Davis, I always see lemon trees, orange trees, whatever, just heavily laden with this stuff. So we're gonna come around to talk about how you guys actually make it happen that other people can enjoy that food if it's not going to be eaten by the owners. So why don't we just start off with explaining the mission of Harvest of Davis?
Well, the mission is to pick fruit that is normally backyard fruit, what we call backyard fruit in people's backyards.
Right.
As opposed to in orchards, although we do some orchards. But the idea is to pick the fruit and distribute it to organizations that can feed the hungry.
Okay.
As opposed to just letting the fruit fall on the ground and rot.
Perfect.
So that's our primary mission there.
Okay. So how did the program start?
It started back in 2009. It started a couple of different ways. One, my wife Pam and I were one of the co-founders, along with another couple named Joe and Linda Schwartz. The four of us were active at that point in the Barack Obama campaign.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of that campaign, then President Obama sent out an email to all the volunteers and said, thank you all for helping me get elected. Now, don't just sit around and do nothing. Go out and continue to serve your community. So the Schwartzes and my wife and I just took them seriously and decided to do something in the community. Linda Schwartz happened to hear a story of an organization called Village Harvest,
uh-huh,
which is operating down in the South Bay area, who do basically the same thing we do here now, pick fruit and donate it to organizations. So we talked to them. And we became the Davis team of Village Harvest.
Okay.
So that's basically how we got started.
And now it's known as Harvest of Davis. How do opportunities come to your attention?
Well, initially, the group did a lot of tabling at the farmer's market, and we were asking people to sign up on our volunteer list, but also asking for homeowners who might have fruit.
Right.
As I recall, Greg, you might be able to correct me on this. I believe that we also did a little bit of cold calling and knocking on doors of folks who we saw had heavily laden trees and asked them politely if you'd be interested in donating.
How was that received?
Generally, pretty well.
Okay, so there is the odd hiccup, but generally well.
Yeah.
Nice, okay.
And at this point, people call us. Our name is out there in the community.
Okay.
We have people who we've been harvesting from for years, and they will call us. Sometimes we get a list if we feel like there's not a lot of harvests out there.
Right.
We start calling people back and saying, hey, are your trees filled with fruit?
Right. What currently, right now, this week, is in season that you're going after?
Well, primarily it's what we call stone fruit, which is plums, apricots, peaches. John did a couple of harvests on peach trees. So right now it's stone fruit. We've just finished up about a month ago with citrus,
okay,
which is our biggest.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But, anything that you grow in a garden, like beans, let's say, or green beans, or stuff like that?
Well, we primarily do, almost entirely, actually do fruit.
Okay.
We got involved with a gentleman who had a farm at one point who raised a lot of vegetables.
Yeah.
And he had us over, and we picked a lot of vegetables, donated those to the Yellow Food Bank. But other than that, it's almost entirely fruit.
Do any of your volunteers, and this just popped into my head, but we live in tomato country here, a lot of tomatoes being grown. And when I see the trucks, these huge trucks carrying the tomatoes, when they take their corners, they're on every corner on the freeways, you'll see tomatoes on the road.
Yeah.
But then when you see after the machinery has picked everything up, you still see some tomatoes in the field. Do you have any volunteers that go and pick what was left on the ground?
We don't do that ourselves,
okay,
but we know that some people do. And our general rule is that if we see it fall and it's still intact and not damaged, then we can donate it. But we actually do not, for food safety reasons, pluck anything off of the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. What is the most unique product you've ever come across that someone said here? You know, I don't know. Mushrooms?
Well, I don't know if it's unique or not. We occasionally... There are a few things that we've chosen not to continue to harvest. One is cherries, which sounds strange because a lot of people love cherries.
Right.
But when you're trying to harvest cherries, first of all, they have to be clipped. You have to understand.
Oh.
We cannot donate fruit if it has broken skin.
Right.
And if you just grab a cherry and pull off a tree, it's probably going to break the skin. So you got to actually have to clip it.
Right, right.
And if you're clipping cherries, as you know, cherries are very small. You could be out there for a half an hour and maybe pick 20 pounds.
Right, right.
Whereas if you're picking things like grapefruits, you could be out there 10 minutes and pick 200 pounds. So,
what is the most unique product that you've ever come across?
A few years ago, somebody contacted us and said they had a whole field of fava beans.
Fava beans.
Yeah, and we really couldn't find a taker for fava beans, and so ultimately that didn't
wow,
come to fruition.
I don't know a fava bean. Is that a unique kind of bean? I don't know.
I wasn't all that familiar with them myself.
Okay.
You know, with the exception of the Silence of the Lambs reference.
Right.
Just going to say. Yeah.
How is the program funded? How is it all through donations? Do you get grants? Does the city help? Does the county help? So on and so forth.
It is all donations. We were very fortunate. In fact, at John's first board meeting, I presented a check from a gentleman that had a 95-year-old gentleman who had recently passed away, and he donated a lot of his money to various organizations such as ours.
Right.
And he donated quite a bit of money to us. And we're still utilizing that. That was probably, five or six years ago?
Yeah.
Nice.
A very great board meeting to attend.
Yeah.
So, told him not to get used to it, but...
Yeah. So do you work with the city at all or not? The city, I'm sure, is aware of you.
We do. In fact, the city had some land on 3rd and J Street. The city owned the land, and they donated the land to an organization called Solar Community Housing, I believe
okay.
it is, who had a house moved there and rebuilt it and then rented it out. And there was some space left over in this city property, and the city let us put a shed on that space. And that's where we store a lot of our equipment now.
Okay, interesting.
So in that regard, we work for the city. And the city's kind enough to allow us also to park our van in the city parking lot.
Oh, nice.
Near City Hall.
Yeah. Cool. Just going back a little bit, you mentioned you started out as Village Harvest. And that was from the Bay Area. Is there a national organization that you guys tap into for whatever? I don't know about resources, but guidance, suggestions, whatever.
There are numerous organizations, large and small, all over the country that do various types of food recovery.
Okay.
There is no central organization that advises on these activities. And
okay.
food recovery might be what we do from backyards. It might be from agricultural fields.
Right.
And it might be from kitchens who have prepared food that is still good and useful. So we communicate and sometimes collaborate with organizations like that. But
right.
Mostly we're just in the trenches, all volunteers, doing our own thing.
That reminds me of the volunteers now. How, you mentioned you go to the farmer's market and table. How else do you get volunteers? Is it just word of mouth by now? You don't actually have to go out and solicit help?
Originally, the organization did it through the newspaper.
Oh.
Back when that was more of a thing.
Right.
And we built up a pretty substantial email list of volunteers that fluctuates. It goes
okay.
up and down.
Of course.
Lots of students on that list, who, you know, many of whom graduate and then
right.
move on. So right now we have over 200 active people on our email list.
Wow.
We also routinely post harvests, especially big harvests. Greg has one tomorrow, and I boosted that on both Facebook and Nextdoor, where we are increasingly getting more and more of our volunteers.
Wow.
And I estimated that we've probably mobilized well over 1,000 volunteers during the life of the organization.
I'm stunned.
Yeah.
I was expecting 10 or 12.
From all walks of life. And people, you know, step in and then do their work and then move on.
Yeah, of course. Well,
like any volunteer organization, you can have, as John said, you know, several hundred or even 1,000 volunteers. That doesn't mean that you're going to do a big harvest and 1,000 people
no.
are going to show up.
No.
You know, you still need to get, you know, 10 or 15 volunteers at every harvest.
Right.
And it's not always that easy.
Interesting. Well, we're just going to take a little break here. We're almost halfway through. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. You're listening to a show called Imagining Yolo Davis. I'm your host, Peter Pastore, and we're talking to two gentlemen, John O'Bear, a board member, and Craig Gibson, founder and board member of Community Harvest of Davis. And I also want to remind the listeners that on Mondays at 5 and Sundays at noon, this show is replayed, along with you can find us on podcasts on Spotify and iTunes under the name Imagining Yolo Davis. Well, we're back with John and Greg, and we're going to flip the page, and we're going to talk about numbers. So I see John has a little cheat sheet in front of him here. How does first of all, just shoot some numbers at us that you've got ready there?
We have over 200 donor homes and other properties that have historically contributed
okay.
to our food base. There's about 20 different organizations and causes that we donate to or have donated to. And in town, that includes a lot of subsidized senior housing complexes. That includes Paul's Place. There are times where we've had one-off organizations say, you know, do you have any fruit for us? We have an event coming up. We've done that a time or two.
Right.
And then, of course, lots of poundage goes directly to the food bank when we don't have you know, places that can take the volume that we have been fortunate to gather. I did the math, and we are approaching somewhere in the neighborhood of a half a million pounds of mostly fruit donated by mostly homeowners in Davis over the life of the organization. A half a million pounds.
Wow. And roughly what is that a year to today? What would you guess you'd pull in a year?
Probably works out to about 25 or 30,000 pounds a year.
Wow.
On an average, some years more, some a little less, but probably on the average around 30,000.
I'm trying to get a handle on how much food then is wasted that is not collected, because I see that still a lot too. Like you walk past an orange tree and everything's on the ground, the tree is still full, and it might be an elderly person living there that can't get up there. And you know, how much do you think, percentage wise, you're grabbing that you could grab? Is it half? Is it a quarter? Is it 5%?
Probably closer to the latter. I would think that there's, as hard as we work and as many harvests as we do throughout a year, I don't think we're getting anywhere near a large percentage of what's out there.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Greg.
Yeah.
We have lots of great volunteers, but we just, you know, don't have the capacity to glean every single tree that's available.
If I'm walking or riding my bike and I see a tree that's just fully loaded, ready and ripe, and unfortunately on the bottom there's a lot of fruit not being picked up, should people call you or just leave it alone?
Well, you could call us
and
we could do a courtesy call. But like I said, we've at the moment, just based on how many harvest leaders we have, which is a position that requires some training, we're a little bit short on harvest leaders, and we're working on recruiting more. We'd be hard pressed to get to it. I would think.
My wife and I experimented with growing beans, green beans, string beans, and. We couldn't help you a lot because I think our total take out of those 10 plants is maybe a handful our first year at it. Once the food is collected, does it go straight away to an organization, or how do you store it?
It pretty much goes straight away to an organization, as John said. If we have a large harvest, large meaning, say, in excess of 500 pounds, we would take that directly to the Yellow Food Bank.
Okay.
And then they will distribute it to people in need. If it's a smaller harvest, we have a gentleman that works with us who will actually take it directly to some organizations here in town that are food needy.
And this is an obvious question, I think, but are there any paid staff in your organization or not?
At this point, it's all volunteer.
Okay. So my next question then is moot, because I was going to say, how would a program like this even exist without volunteers? It wouldn't, would it?
It would not.
I was saying that it couldn't exist without volunteers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
we're always happy to have people volunteer by our organization.
Can either one of you, or maybe both of you, each one take one or two, share any success stories where people have said how much they appreciate or what, how they used it or whatever? Success story, I would call it.
Well, I have a kind of a unique success story.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
That, unique. It goes stuff. All the way back to our first year, and we try to make all of our harvests in Davis,
right?
Because there's plenty of fruit to be picked in Davis, so we don't go to other communities. Although there are a couple of orchards in the Winters area that we'll go to.
All right.
However, when we first got started, somebody called and said, had heard about us and said they had a peach tree.
Right.
And they lived in Dixon. And I said, well, normally we don't go to Dixon, but since we're brand new, we'll make an exception.
Right.
Go there. And they said their tree was loaded. So we had about three or four people that got in the cars and went over there to pick it. And there was literally one peach on the tree.
What?
One peach. So we picked that one peach and took it back to Davis. And then we knew that we had to be more careful. So, but that's not a real success story.
No, but it's kind of a fun story. Yeah, good Lord.
Yeah. The reason I got involved, I mean, I've always loved the idea of making things that would go to waste useful.
Right,
I just love that idea. And so I saw this organization and I thought, well, that's my kind of organization.
Yeah.
And at the time, I also had two little girls and I wanted to instill a spirit of volunteerism with them.
Nice.
And so I love when folks bring kids to harvests.
Oh.
And, you know, some harvests are better than others. We try to state that in our call for volunteers that this is an excellent harvest for little ones.
Right.
Sometimes all the fruit is too high, and so we would not necessarily want a lot of kids. But that I love seeing such an incredibly diverse group of folks at any given harvest, because you really do get folks from all walks of life.
Right, right.
I did want to mention one other gentleman who routinely volunteers with us. 7 or 8, 9 years ago, lost his wife, and he was gutted.
Right.
And he will tell you that this organization, having a reason to go out and be purposeful and be useful, really helped him get back on his feet. And so that has nothing to do with feeding people, but, you know, we've been able to give somebody people purpose, which is a great thing.
Right, right. Well, yeah. I'm trying to think of that Beatle line. The more you give, I forget. But anyways, giving of yourself is probably more important than receiving, you know?
I agree.
One very quick success story that we had. But a lady in Winters had a orchard, but she had 75 to 100 tangelo trees.
Wow.
And she had us come out and pick them because she no longer picked them commercially. We come out. We used to get anywhere between 3,000 and 6,000 pounds.
Wow.
At one time.
Wow.
We would get somewhere between 90 and 100 volunteers, but she was so thrilled that she could make those that fruit available to people who needed it, that she actually donated enough money for us to buy our first van.
Wow.
So that was certainly a success.
Yeah. If anybody wants to learn more about you or get in touch with you, where do they go?
All they have to do is Google Community Harvest of Davis.
Okay. And everything will show up. You're also on Facebook.
We're on.
Same title?
Yes.
Instagram?
We are currently only on Facebook.
Okay. Yep. Okay. And let's see. You mentioned you have an upcoming event tomorrow. What are you going to be picking tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're picking some plums.
Yeah.
And also some. It's a kind of a hybrid plum.
Okay.
Pluot, it's called. Pluot. It's a cross between a plum and an apricot.
Okay. And if someone wanted to volunteer, can they just show up or should they give you a call?
It's best to give us a call.
Okay.
We try to keep track of who's going to be coming and
Your,
who doesn't.
Your phone number is on the website?
It is.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect. All righty. Let's see. If you could imagine the future of this organization 5-10 years from now, what do you see?
I see personally, and this is a little bit hopeful feeling, but a younger group that's running it now.
Yeah.
The original four that I mentioned in the first one, the four founders are all getting up in years, and fortunately, John O'Bear here has taken over as executive director. He's certainly younger than we all are. And we try to recruit Horace leaders and board members and eventually people who will take over the organization.
Have you tapped into any of the UC Davis Ag student base?
We have. We have had kind of loose cooperative agreements with many student organizations at UC Davis.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I did want to throw in, we are www.harvestdavis.org.
Okay.
So that's our official
website. The official website.
Yeah.
All righty. Let's see. You've shared your comments about success stories, and unfortunately we're a minute and a half to go, so we're running slow on time here, low on time. I want to thank both of you for coming out. I want to thank you for doing this. Volunteers are heroes in the community, and what makes a community healthy and it's not only good for the recipients, but as you mentioned, it's also good for the volunteers. So John O'Bear and Craig Gibson, thank you very, very much for joining us. And
thank you, Peter.
Look forward to seeing you again sometime or in and around Davis.
Thanks so much for having us.
We're going to go out with a song from the Guess Who, and the name of the song is Share the Land, so it's kind of fitting. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Bye now. Talking.